How was tonight's show?
Fuck stupid. Fuck John Cena. Fuck stupid moron.
Whoa, there's kids
fucking
here.
Shh,
there's kids. There's kids here.
Fuck John Cena is stupid.
Okay.
Fuck John Cena.
Would you say that you couldn't see that happening?
Cody Rhodes got cheated, okay? It took Travis Scott, the referee, was helping, clearly, John Cena.
It seems like you're a little emotional.
Some bullshit. Cody Rhodes got cheated. Fuck. Fuck John Cena, fucking.
Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Snug Wrestling. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Like, come on, bro. Like, they popped for Jay and Gunther. But yeah. even that match didn't get the explosion reaction I was actually expecting it to receive. Like, they were not nearly as loud as I thought they'd be for Jay.
Even the Punk entrance was not as loud as I thought it was going to be.
You Punk pop was underwhelming. And I was like, okay.
Like, we and thought... Then, going to be so much bigger than it actually was.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's because there's like fucking 25 less thousand people than last year, but I mean, you know what? It was also, was it an open roof stadium?
No.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't?
No.
So then I don't know then, because then that the decibel levels, like the reverberation effect of all that sound should have been bouncing all over the fucking place.
I mean, it's a big ass stadium, honestly. There was like over 60,000 people there.
Yeah,
so.
But it seats 72. So it was just like, I mean, there were moments where the crowd was like awesome, but for everybody at home, man, it was a big point of contention online while you guys were in that stadium. Like, yo, what's with the crowd?
Yeah, it was also, it's kind of hard to, for the crowd to be in sync with the cheering and stuff, like in a big arena like that compared to like a 14,000-15,000 seat arena.
And I get it, but like, I mean, certain matches, you guys were awesome, but there were like some matches where I completely understand, like, no, who the fuck cares about War Raiders versus New Day, you know? But I mean, they popped heavy for Dom. That might have been one of the loudest pops of the entire weekend.
Yeah.
But for John Cena versus Cody Rhodes, the crowd sucked.
They were ruining the hell out of
I don't know, man. I was
the hell out of Cody.
At least the people that I was sitting next to were popping for everything.
But they were quiet as fuck for that match.
Yeah.
Starting to wonder how much they actually paid to sit in those seats that are like right next fucking ramp up top.
I know those seats for a fact. Like, let me put it into perspective.
Like the juice box.
Let me put it into perspective. Fucking... The seats that are in the first like four rows at Mania in 08 here in Florida when I went to, and my brother, even though I was catering the event, my brother and his grandma were literally four rows back from the actual ring. Those tickets for those seats in 2008 were $900 a piece.
It's now.
And that's 08. We're talking 17 years later with inflation.
Shout out to Jay, my love, says, did you enjoy WrestleMania 41? I actually did. I had a great time.
This asshole was there.
By the way, you guys, we are live for another episode of the Snug Wrestling Podcast. The crew is here with me, Mr. Blood Toxic, Tommy, and BT Knight. We're a little late on the WrestleMania review, and it's completely my fault. I just came back from Vegas, and we're going to talk about not the whole entire card, because... I was in the stadium. I was going to sit there and fucking, you know, take notes of every single match and, you know, break every match down because I was actually trying to enjoy the show. And I did. So we're going to talk about the main matches. We're going to talk about Jey Uso versus Gunther. We're going to talk about the main event triple threat match. We're going to talk about the Intercontinental Championship match. And we're going to talk about John Cena versus Cody Rhodes. So that's, if we got time, we'll probably throw a little bit of Randy and Joe Hendry in there because I thought some of the response this match was getting was pretty insane. I think it's worth mentioning. So, We got started talking about the fans in the arena. There was over 60,000 fans, and I guess a lot of the WWE fans that weren't in the arena, I don't know, maybe they were just jealous of us people there in Vegas in attendance, that were saying that the crowd in Vegas wasn't that great. Some people were actually like petitioning, never bring WrestleMania back to Las Vegas ever again. That's how bad the crowd was. But yeah, I didn't hear any of that. I didn't see any of that backlash. But Mr. Blood, just really quick, fill me in a little bit more on that.
Yeah. So, I was live, on TikTok Live for a combined roughly 4 hours, 50 minutes on night one, 3 hours and 32 minutes on night two. So I was live for a while, and in my chats, and while I'm also online following along with everybody posting in real time, there was a whole thing that by the end of the weekend, there was like a tweet that I saw that was like, never bring Vegas back, or never bring Mania back to Vegas. This crowd sucks. It had like fucking 700,000 fucking likes. It had like over 20,000 retweets, and it was gaining traction. And then I started seeing posts like that everywhere. Then I started seeing dozens upon dozens of TikToks everywhere of people watching in real time. And it became a thing where for all of us, like the crowd was like, and maybe we're getting spoiled with the international crowds, but like, I'm sorry, Vegas, like even though on like in Philadelphia last year for 40, night one, the crowd's energy level was low because they were freezing their balls off. Okay. And then night two, when it warmed up, the crowd was fantastic. But even the crowd on night one last year, standing out there in freezing temperatures in an open arena stadium, they had more energy than most of the crowd night one and two combined coming across the screen for everybody watching at home. And you'll be like, oh, maybe it's your TV. I have a 4K Ultra HD TV with a Dolby Digital 2.0 surround sound, so I can hear just fine. The crowd was just not into a lot of these matches. I don't fully blame them for some of the builds, but at the same time, like,
so here's the thing. You know, here's
felt
the thing.
Y'all weren't into it that much.
Here's the thing. When it comes to like the crowd reactions in the arena in person, are a lot different than how they come across on TV. Now, for example, here's an example: the Dominic Mysterio boos. For the longest time, a lot of fans were saying that there were piped in boos, and take it from someone who was in the arena, not just once, but multiple times when Dominic Mysterio was out there getting booed. Those were not piped in noises. Like, those boos were loud as fuck, and they sound a lot more louder in person than on TV. The TV, the camera, the TV, or the camera angles, they don't really do the fans justice, because I can guarantee you, as being someone that was in attendance in the arena, people were cheering and people were popping nonstop for their favorite moments. Like, even the for the Cody and Cena match, the crowd was loud. When Cena won, the crowd was loud. When Cena came out, the crowd was loud. When Cody came out, I mean, the only the people that weren't there are saying, you know, the crowd wasn't that live. Maybe it wasn't as loud as like a Puerto Rican crowd, but also when they were in Puerto Rico, there was like what, like 15,000 people
in the arena. Yeah, it's a non-saturated market. But at the same time, Puerto Rico, what was kind of the bar setter for crowds after that for a while. And but I've rewatched that match, the Cody John match, twice now. Throughout the majority of the actual match taking place, the entrances is one thing, the win is one thing. During the majority of the match taking place, I've watched that match a total of three times now. It was pretty fucking dead through a lot of that match. And a lot of people online were blaming it on John Cena, saying that he wasn't as aggressive as they hoped he would. It was too slow-paced. Like, the majority consensus is the match was boring and it was too slow. is what, am I the only one who saw all this shit online about all these comments? Anybody else, raise your hand if you saw an amalgamation of these responses online about the match between Cody and John being boring, too slow, not enough aggressive from John, because it's everywhere. I mean, I got thousands of views on my videos about the match, and I've got fucking dozens of comments about all saying the same thing, and the same thing on everybody else's trying to defend the match. Hundreds of comments on their posts too. It's not like just a couple people. It's thousands.
I haven't had the time to be online to hear any of, like, I already know people are always going to have their opinions or whatever. But again, I just go back to when you're there in person, it's a completely different story.
Oh, and I completely agree. It's different when your ears are literally in the room.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the match was good in the match. I even said in my review, I said, I thought the match itself was pretty damn fine. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's the finish everybody's got a problem with. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
But I just think either the fans in attendance didn't give it the amount of love I think we were hoping they would, but I will really hearken it to the point that I desperately think we got spoiled with the international crowds. I think that's really what it's coming down to.
Yeah.
We got spoiled with how loud they were, and now none of the U.S. crowds feel nearly as good in comparison.
Yeah, I mean, again, when these European crowds, they're lit. But again, yeah. when they go to Europe, they're in 15,000 seat arenas. We're talking about over 60,000 fucking people.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a little bit different, you know.
But it's also a completely unsaturated market like the U.S. So these people have been clamoring for this shit, you know, forever. So they scream two times as loud because they don't know when they're going to get it again.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, let's get started with the Jey Uso and Gunther match, fellas. Jey Uso pulled off the big victory versus Gunther. No matter what people are going to say, they're going to hate on the match, but I thought it was one hell of a match, not just because Jey Uso won, but how he won with the tap out, with the choke, with Gunther's choke of all moves, the move that Gunther has been beating people left and right. Again, people hate on Gunther. Oh, he does the same moves over and over again, and he just does the sleeper. Well, a sleeper hold in the opening match of WrestleMania for the World Heavyweight Champion got a huge fucking pop after Jey Uso submitted the Ring General Gunther. I was hoping it was going to be Gunther to get it back. I got to say that yeet movement is fucking contagious. I was really happy to see Jey Uso win the damn thing. It was a great moment, and I mean, what else can we say about this, guys? BT, let's go with you first.
Whirlwind of emotions watching this match, and the video package on Monday Night Raw just made it 10 times better. I loved the choice of song that they used, by the way. I was singing the crap out of that song. Love Macklemore, shout out to him. This fucking match, they gave the fans and the critics what they fucking wanted. Jey can wrestle. He added more moves onto his arsenal. Did a power bomb on Gunther, bro, and didn't just beat him like that. He beat him with two extra super kicks, three Uso splashes, and then the fucking tap out. But did you see the look on Jey's face before he hit the tap out? Before he was going to choke him out? He was in a dark place. He needed to let the demons out. And with that choke hold, I feel like he did that. And Gunther tapped out in 6.5 seconds. And I was screaming. I was so excited, bro. Jey Uso fully deserves everything that he has gotten. To all the people that are hating on this match, I think the main reason why they hate it is, one, they were expecting a blood feud because of how they built it. And they were expecting blood itself. But not a lot of matches need blood. They don't. And this match is one of those ones where you don't need something like that to amp up how important this match is. And then there's just those people that's like, this was the worst main event in history. Gunther is buried. Why the fuck is Jey Uso turning up to the press conference drunk as world champion when y'all motherfuckers are the same ones that laugh your asses off a year and a half ago when he won the unified tag titles with Cody? Like, honestly, they're nitpicky as fuck. They're never satisfied, so fuck the haters. And congratulations to Jey Uso. You deserve it. Four letters, one word. Yeet!
Fuck. I was gonna say something there that... Anyway, doesn't matter. I guess it wasn't that important. Tommy, let's go first. Let's go next with you.
My boy, let's go. He absolutely deserved this. And for the people that are over here saying, oh, all he can do is super kicks, all he can do is kicks and splashes, I'm sorry, how many super kicks were there? Two. And guess where they were at? The end of the match. He did not even use a single super kick throughout the entirety of that match until closer to the end. And when it comes to the splash, Gunther did more splashes than Jey did on Saturday. Gunther, a man who was not known for his splashes, he still did more of those than Jey did. He absolutely deserves this. And then the ending, where he's celebrating and all of that, and all of a sudden, you pan back to the ring, and who's standing there? Jimmy. That right there just, it almost made me cry there. It had me tearing up. Because after everything those two have been through, that there, perfect. Just perfect. It was just way too perfect to the point where I don't even know how to put this match into words.
Yeah. I just remembered that what I was going to say earlier is like, this match didn't need blood. I mean, it was the opening match. Not every match needs to have blood, but Jey Uso was still announced as main event Jey Uso. Even though this was the opening match, he was still called main event Jey Uso, which I thought was funny. People
criticizing him for showing up drunk at the press conference. I'm sorry. I'm pretty sure if you won one of the biggest titles of your career, you would party by getting drunk off your ass, too.
Jesus fucking. People were really mad about that.
Oh, yeah.
People have no fucking lives.
It was all over Twitter. They were criticizing him for everything. And I'm like, why were you celebrating it when he won the Unified Tag Titles with Cody? You
guys didn't have a problem making memes about it. Him and Cody were drunk as fuck on that press event, too.
People have no fucking lives.
It's like, dude, it's like, look, this is the biggest moment of his career. He was the first match of the night with fucking 3.5 hours left to go before the presser. Man can't toss a couple back and for 3.5 hours while he's waiting and hanging out with his family backstage and just chilling, enjoying the win of his career, like
in Vegas.
Get a life, yeah, in Vegas. Like, and then he went out to a club with his brother afterwards too, because we saw those videos online. It's like, dude, if this is the first world title of your career, Jey has been in this company now for over 16 years, 17 years now.
Yeah,
this is his first world title. Let the man celebrate the shit. Come on. If it was you, you'd be, as soon as I got backstage before I took a shower, I'd be like, where are the shots? Line them up. We're all doing them together.
I literally went to the Undertaker short, the Undertaker show the night after WrestleMania 1. And guess what he was doing throughout the whole entire show?
Taker gets tossed on the Dead Man
Show. He was taking shots of whiskey during the fucking show. Like,
he'll go through a whole bottle of Jack Daniels right there in one show. They mention it on the One Dead Man Show podcast all the time. People, one time they had the Godfather on, they got in trouble.
People are so... Okay, he told that story again, by the way, which that's why I was like, ugh,
But I mean, look, Jay deserved to fucking celebrate after so much of that, you know? He is great. This match was, in my opinion, awesome. And you know, people are like, it wasn't violent enough, it wasn't brutal enough, it should have been a blood feud. Dude, let me ask you this. If someone spears you in the gut, kicks you as hard as they can in the face twice, jumps their 220-pound frame through the air on your stomach twice, then on your back across your ribs once, now you're gasping for air, you're half conscious, your ribs hurt, you can't breathe, you feel like you got a collapsed lung, and then when you stand up trying to get a little bit of breath, now they're going to choke the life out of you? As far as I'm concerned, Jay was pretty fucking brutal at the end there. That was, he made Gunther suffer. Let's be honest, that wasn't like, people wanted a blood feud, that was vicious. It was vicious. He said, "You got to pray. I'm going to pray forgiveness for what I do to you." Kicked him in the face twice. Jumped across his rib cage three times after he threw 220 pounds of his body weight into his stomach for a spear. And then sleeper hold. Yeah, dude, I'm tapping out quick too. I can't breathe. Call me fucking George Floyd. I can't breathe. Get off me. Let me go. I get it. People think, oh, they buried Gunther. No, dude, be realistic. If you and I walk up to each other in the street, Snug, if I tackled you into the ground and I kicked you in the face twice and I jumped off the nearest banister I could find on you three times without stopping, there was, by the way, that entire sequence was within a minute and 45 to 2 minutes without stopping. You can't catch a breath. You can't catch reprieve. You can't fucking breathe. You can't stand up to calm down. You're just getting hit after hit after hit after hit after hit after a choke. Are you going to just go, please stop? Are you going to beg me to stop? You're going to beg me to stop.
Yeah, it was a quick tap out.
Yeah, I don't blame Gunther for tapping quick.
Yeah.
At that point, I'm done, dude. Because Jey Uso attacked his ribs the entire match. He went after the stomach the entire match. The backdrop neck breaker, which lands on your back, okay? He kicked him in the stomach, punched him in the stomach, fucking power bombed his ass in the freaking stomach, speared him in the stomach, splashed him in the fucking stomach. Dude, I can't breathe. You're you had me in a chokehold, and now you've cinched your legs and your knees into my rib cage to fully lock it in, a rear naked choke. Yes, I'm done. Okay, you win. I'm sorry. Please let me go. Someone call a doctor. Get this guy away from me. Like, that was a pretty realistic finish for if that happened, you would realize if someone really had done that to you in real life, beat you down that much without a moment of reprieve, you would have tapped in 5 seconds too. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that they buried Gunther. They proved that Jay literally forced Gunther to the limit of giving up because he beat him until he couldn't take any more. That's what that finish was. It made perfect fucking sense. Jay fucking deserved that moment. He got vindication for Jimmy, and it was beautiful. So motherfuckers with me, Tommy, Toxic, BT, I'm sorry, but four letters, one word.
And for the people going, oh yeah, like he can't get drunk, look at where they were at. Just look at where they were at. Vegas is only two things.
The only person in that city not drunk were the children and CM Punk.
Yep. Shit, I'm still drunk. Yeah. Go ahead, Toxic. Let's hear your thoughts.
Four letters, one word. I am so happy. I almost cried because that's one of my day ones right there. He's one of the ones that got me into wrestling, and now to see him as a world champion blows my fucking mind. That entire win at WrestleMania proves to every single one, you can do anything you put your fucking mind to. Anything. No matter how many people bring you down, no matter what goes on, you just gotta push so you give your all. That's exactly what Jay proved in that match. Once again, four letters, one word, gate.
Yeah, it was one hell of a way to kick off WrestleMania night one with a big match like that, a big victory with Jey Uso. The fucking place blew up, and man, it was exciting to see everything from the entrance all the way to the big finish. Yeah, definitely one hell of a match.
It makes you wonder if that's going to be their format going forward, by the way. Having the World Heavyweight Championship open night one, because that's 2 years in a row now that they've done that.
Mm-hmm. Could be. You guys...
The World Championship
they did it last year with Seth and...
Yeah, it opened night two.
Seems like the format going forward where they're going to have... use the world title to be an opener on one of the nights if the Undisputed main events. That's kind of what it feels like. Start strong, finish strong type thing is what I mean.
All right, you guys, the next match that I want to go over with you guys is the Cody Rhodes and the John Cena night two main event. And man, John Cena did it. He got number 17. Poor Cody Rhodes, man. And poor us. Poor all of the cruddy... God damn it. I'm still so devastated over this. Poor Cody crybabies like myself that we lost, man. Cody Rhodes, he got pinned with the help of Travis Scott, I must add. John Cena beat Cody at WrestleMania Night 2. I'm still heartbroken about this, guys. But I was hopeful. I had a feeling this was going to happen, but I was hopeful. And it all makes sense, you know. Now seeing things how they're playing out after the Raw, after Mania, and all that stuff. But overall, the match has been getting a lot of negativity from the IWC. But me being there, I'm a little biased because I was there, and it was a really great match. For whatever people want to say, and they want to hate on the match, saying that it was slow, that John Cena ruined wrestling. I really enjoy this match overall, but I'm speaking from actually being there. But how was it for you guys? Bled, let's go with you first for this one. What did you think about the match, watching it from your point of view?
So I had I was live the entire time during Mania, as I said yesterday. I was live the entire weekend, almost 9 hours total. And Toxic and Tommy were with me throughout the live, as was BT. And in real time, man, I had no problem. And I said this on my videos afterwards when I was reviewing like the aftermath. And everybody unanimously, at least that I've talked to personally on TikTok and Instagram, no one had a problem that John won. The match, I personally enjoyed the match as it was actually taking place. I thought, okay, they're telling a story, slow burn, you know, John's being more methodical. He's not being that hyped up, peppy, you know, hype the crowd movements. He's hitting the slow shoulder tackles, hitting the slow back body drop, doing the five knuckle shuffle, but super slow, not enthusiastic. He's not giving the fans the energy to feed off of on purpose. And they're eating it up and they're loving it, right? They're loving what he's doing that way because they like him as a heel, turns out. Cody is doing his best to survive. The only gripe people have with the match was that they wanted more aggression out of John, and that Cody seemed to be way too kind to him in the ring for everything that he put him through. And for me, I agree with that sentiment. I enjoyed the majority of the match because I was understanding the story. I was understanding why John was wrestling the way he was. He was purposefully trying not to be exciting. He didn't want to give the fans anything. That's the character he's in right now. Travis Scott coming out ruined the match. And in the way of, look, no one had a problem if John won. In fact, I'd say everybody was unanimously okay with John winning. But if he won, we wanted him to win in a way that was going to be epic. I know it's hard to follow the main event of WrestleMania 40. The Avengers assembled. I understand that. It's a hard act to follow. But there is a difference between trying to overbook an ending finish to a match at Mania like last year in a way that's exciting and incredible and never done before versus hyping a story up like this one, getting The Rock involved again, getting John, something as massive as John Cena turning heel in the day of 2025 at Cody's expense, having him turn on Cody in front of everybody. You can't build all of that, right? And then you send Travis Scott out, which automatically tells the entire audience, oh, Travis Scott's the first person to come out and interfere. Maybe we're going to get Bad Bunny because Bad Bunny's friends with Cody because they set that up last year leading up to this, I think it was SummerSlam or one of those pay-per-views where they were sitting in a car together outside of the stadium and that was their big promo where him and Cody were in a car and, you know, like, oh, we know Bad Bunny's Cody's friend, so maybe one celebrity takes out another celebrity, right? Everybody's thinking maybe Kai Cenat. Something like people we've seen recently, all these things they've set up, right? And then automatically you see Travis Scott, it makes you think The Rock because of what happened at Elimination Chamber. So your brain automatically goes, well, fuck, Travis Scott. So, okay, everybody's looking. Who's coming in next? Who's interfering? Are they coming from under the ring? Are they coming from the crowd? When's The Rock's music going to hit? And then it's okay to get Travis Scott involved if you're going to pay it off with The Rock. Because you literally give the fans no choice but to believe The Rock follows Travis Scott because of the alliance from Elimination Chamber. So now not only have you inflated everybody's expectations because you've begun opening the door to their expectations, you then squander them. Because Cody should have got more of a receipt on Travis. Although I will say Travis sold the shit out of that Crossroads. But the missed timing on trying to go for a punch and then just a slow looking down, Cody taking too much time to get through this shit and then leaving himself open for this awkward exchange with John where John goes to throw the title smack at him and he awkwardly slowly just stops the title and John held his arm back before Cody stopped it. So now the timing's off. Now you've got Cody who has every reason to crash the fuck out. And by the way, his dad would have fucking kicked John in the dick even as a babyface. Stone Cold as a babyface would have kicked him in the freaking dick. The Undertaker would have freaking chokeslammed through the freaking mat as a babyface. So it's bullshit. Even John Cena, vintage, like 2010's John Cena, would have made them pay. Are we forgetting that's the same John Cena, babyface Super Cena, who was so mad at Randy. When Randy was done, he handcuffed himself to Randy and beat that man all over the arena with no mercy. When Batista, as a babyface John Cena, Batista, quit an I Quit match. He still attitude adjusted him off the car, even though he already won the match. So you're telling me that because John can do that, what, Cody can't sit there and get his freaking comeuppance? Like, dude, Cody, you're completely vindicated. No one's going to boo you here if you smack John with the title. In fact, he deserves it, bro. So that also pissed people off because now you made Cody look like an absolute moron. You made Cody look so weak. That's where people are getting pissed with this match. You made him look weak. And then the worst defense, take away The Rock's Twitter, or sorry, his Instagram. Because in the middle of the show, this man posts that he is in Maui driving around, still probably filming pickups for Moana, the live action, and basically just told everybody, yeah, I ain't coming out. I started the story. I interjected myself into another story again to reinvigorate my image. Because Hollywood hates me, and if you're going to put yourself in everybody's major stories, you better damn sight be there for the massive payoff. When you started the story, The Rock started this shit with Cody way back at the Monday Night Raw after Mania last year. Don't you ever break my heart again. Then shows up at the end of, what was it, Backlash or Survivor or Bad Blood? Went nowhere with that. Then shows up on the Raw after Netflix, the Netflix Raw debut. to sit there and tell everybody, hey, me and Cody are friends, and he's breaking kayfabe. Then to come back a couple weeks later and say, nah, I was playing. So, Laura, I just want Cody's soul. I want this. And you'll give me your answer to the Elimination Chamber. The worst offense about all of this is that you would have the nerve to set up all these stories with you as one of the main characters in it. And then the one time we actually want you to show up and interject yourself and make it all about you, you can't be bothered to show up at WrestleMania of all times. And then you really smack the fans in the face by posting on Instagram that you definitely aren't there. Then don't involve yourself in anybody's stories if you can't get your movie schedule straight, bro. Because of The Rock, he single-handedly not showing up ruined the entire main event. And the worst part about everything else is everybody trying to act like this was always the plan. We've all seen the comments of fans trying to sit there and gaslight the rest of us who aren't ignorant by telling us, well, John Cena said he was going to ruin wrestling, so by not having The Rock come out, it feeds into what he's saying. He made sure The Rock didn't come out. It was supposed to be Travis Scott, so we'd be underwhelmed on purpose. It would ruin wrestling. No. Don't gaslight me into pretending like I don't know what bad booking is. Don't gaslight me into pretending that The Rock didn't fuck it up because his movie schedule got in the way, because he didn't prioritize the very company he just became in charge of. And don't gaslight me into saying it was John Cena's grand plan. John Cena isn't writing the show. Don't bullshit me. Don't gaslight me and insult my intelligence. Because I would have been really pissed if WWE had told John Cena to go out there on Raw and tell everybody that, I told you, I was going to ruin wrestling. I told you weren't going to get what you wanted. I told The Rock to stay home. If they had done that to try to save face, I'd have been furious. It's one thing for the stupid wrestling marks to try to insult our intelligence and gaslight us like that. But if the company had done that, I'd have lost some serious respect for Triple H for just not admitting that he booked it bad and The Rock's booking and travel schedule got in the way of the show, which is what actually happened. And that ruined the ending of Mania. That right there tells me one thing that should have happened, boys. And let me know if you agree on this. Jay and Gunther should have main evented night one. And the triple threat should have main evented night two. If this is how night two was going to fucking end. Right or wrong? Can I get a yeet if I'm right? Exactly. Next person.
Yeah, the first thing I thought of too when I saw Travis Scott come out was definitely, oh, The Rock is going to come. He's going to come out. And everyone was disappointed when he didn't show up. But it's like, damn if you do, damn if you don't. Because I feel like if he would have showed up, what were people going to say? Oh, well, look at The Rock. He just shows up, you know, at the main event and blah, 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 blah.
No one would have been mad, though. No one would have been mad because it fed the story from Elimination Chamber. If he's getting involved, it makes sense. The problem is, if you can't get The Rock, don't have Travis come out at all. I'd rather be happy that John won 17 and the match went off without a hitch and he cheated to win on his own. But the moment you put Travis out there, you made everybody think The Rock was next. And you got everybody's hopes up because it's the main event of Mania, right? Everybody's excited, hype. What could happen? Is The Undertaker coming again? Is Stone Cold coming out? Because he's in the building. You set these expectations because you let these fans get so excited by all the shit, the stories you set up for the payoff at WrestleMania, the end of the season. And then you fucked everybody up. You smacked everybody in the face. If The Rock can't come, just don't have Travis come at all.
Yeah, that was the other thing too. I'm like, the guy that came out to pretty much cause Cody Rhodes, you know, this, the Undisputed Championship, the title that Cody Rhodes fought for, you know, to get for a really long time, wasn't even like a
wrestler,
of a legitimate guy. It was a fucking, it was Travis Scott, you know?
It's literally like when Jon Stewart turned on freaking John Cena all those years ago and hit him with the chair when he was versing Big. Does anybody remember that? When the talk show host John Stewart betrayed John Cena and cost him the match against the Authority. That's what this was. Someone who has no business being in the story, costing the guy in the story, the actual wrestler, his victory. Why?
So what are we supposed to get now? Cody versus Travis? Like, come on now.
Apparently Travis Scott's been training.
Well, that's why I'm starting to wonder, but hold on, Mr. Blood. Let's hear from someone else.
Please, sorry, let's go sorry from about BT. That. I had to get all that off my chest to a live audience.
That's all good, Mr. Blood. I for one have been pissed off about this match as much as you have been. But you mainly stole a lot of my points except for one. One, I wanted to see Travis get a black eye, even though he's black as shit, not being racist. But besides that, here's something that's crappy about the ending to that match. We have been building Cody Rhodes as somebody who is trying to show more aggression. And I've got two names for you. AJ Styles and fucking Kevin Owens. You're telling me that you could hit AJ Styles with the steel steps at Clash at the Castle after AJ Styles said he quit, but you can't hit Cena on the head with the belt to get the win? You can hit a crossroads on Kevin Owens onto the steel chair at Saturday night's main event as the referee is knocked out of the ring and get the win, but you can't hit Cena on the head with the belt. You could make Kevin Owens bleed at the Royal Rumble to get both the Winged Eagle title and the Undisputed title in a TLC match. But you can't hit John in the head with the fucking belt. And what's the reason that everybody's coming up with? Because Cena is Cody's childhood idol. Motherfucker, if I was hit on the head and kicked in the balls by Edge, I would crash the fuck out. I don't give a fuck about any of his acting abilities anymore. I don't care if he's standing in front of me with his menacing look.
TikTok language before you get too excited.
Bruh. I would at least make him at least bleed. At least. Like, I wouldn't just sit back to the sidelines and be like, oh my god, I know this is my childhood idol, but I'm a hero to the people. I'm a hero to the people. The people wanted to see blood! That's what the people want!
We can't say that. Can we?
Depending on the context, when I saw him getting excited, that's why I said, easy.
Bro.
Point is, you're not wrong. The people wanted to see color. That's the proper terminology. The people wanted to see color, and the people wanted to see that next level of ferocity that we've seen Cody do. The fact is, you're right. Cody proved in the last 5 months he can go just as hard as the heels can if you push him. He almost ended Kevin's career through a ladder, remember, at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that he could drop that man 8 feet out of the air through a ladder on the back of his neck, but smacking someone on the forehead with a piece of metal who literally used three guys to jump you in front of your friends, family, your daughter, God, and everybody. But that guy, you're...
Tommy, what are your thoughts on all this?
My thoughts are simple. To add on to what Blood was saying during his full point, why the hell are you literally going to put out a shirt and put it in the WWE shop itself that says, finally, The Rock has come back to Las Vegas if he's not even going to fucking be there? It literally says it on the shirt that he was going to be there, and all of a sudden he doesn't show up? No! That is not at all how that's supposed to go. If you're going to start a story, finish it. Be there for the ending. But of course, like, even on his Instagram, he posted that during night one. Somebody commented on it saying, haha, nice try, we'll see you tomorrow. Because they actually thought it was fake and that it was filmed ahead of time. It wasn't. And I look at that and I'm like, why? You literally had Travis Scott go out there, which immediately made us think you specifically, because of Elimination Chamber, and then all of a sudden you're just not gonna show up? You're just gonna let Travis be there? It makes zero sense.
That proves to you that he had a that there was a last minute change. The shirt was already made. They probably made hundreds of them.
They also had a bunch of other shirts for The Rock, not just that one.
Exactly, but the one for Vegas specifically, that proves they had every intention of him being there, and he probably did too, and then scheduling got in the way, and he couldn't fly back in time.
Does it, though? I don't know if that proves. I don't know if that proves anything. I mean,
but then why spend? But that's hundreds of thousands. That's hundreds of thousands of dollars in merchandise and printing
that they made, probably. But it goes back to what you say, Blood. I've heard you say this multiple times. Card subject to change, right?
Yeah, but there's a difference between card subject to change and, look, we can't tell the story and end it the way we wanted to end the story. So instead of – they're not stupid. Triple H isn't stupid. He had to have known. There's no – and you're in a room full of intelligent writers. There is no way – that you don't know, as a 30-year veteran in the game in Triple H, who's also a fan, as he made pointedly clear in his Hall of Fame speech at nauseam for an hour, that you don't know, as a fan, the moment you see a guy related to the guy that attacked the guy, that you're not going to go, Travis Scott equals The Rock. Because your last pay-per-view, you put them together as a freaking super alliance, and that's all we've known for the last month and a half. Why wouldn't we suspect that? If the fans automatically were to think that, you have to know that Triple H and the rest of them knew that would have been the first thought. So don't have Travis come out at all.
And instead of fully addressing it, on the Pat McAfee show earlier today, his response when asked the question, hey, why didn't you show up, was, oh, like, the final boss had to take a step back. Then why have Travis Scott there?
Yeah, I heard some of the stuff that The Rock had to say. And he's pretty much like, it kind of felt like he was just like cleaning his hands. Like, kind of like the shit that Hogan does a little bit. Like, hey, look, I just did this because the ticket sales were going down. And I was just doing them a favor. But now, you know, they don't need me, so now it's like...
But he can't be just doing them a favor. He's the legitimate shoot real-life director of the board. You're doing yourself a favor, too, but you're also hurting your own bottom line because you're pissing off your fan base.
Isn't that what he kind of sounded like, though? Like he was just doing WWE a favor?
No, yeah, it sounded like he was brushing it off. I mean, I show up whenever they need, you know, because he always acts like his presence is giving you charity.
Well, this turned into a Rock bashing review, but let's hear from Toxic.
What he was doing at the Pat McAfee show basically was, it was basically exactly the same as when he came back on the Raw on Netflix, the debut, and he was breaking kayfabe, and he had to go to NXT and basically be like, he was switching it in on us, and he was like, you can't be nice to Cody. He was criticizing us. So basically, he's out here shitting on us again, basically being like, enjoy the ride The Rock is taking you on. Like, motherfucker, you're the one that's on the ride.
Yeah, literally, enjoy the ride I'm taking you on is literally just code for, I'm figuring it out as I go, and... You know, I'll know when Triple H tells me what direction we're going in, and then I'm going to tell him what direction I want to go in. That's all just key for The Rock has no idea what ride he's taking you on until Triple H gives him ideas and then he pretends that he came up with it himself. He doesn't know, and he can't control his movie schedule. And the ride is, I come back when I want, you'll enjoy me when I'm there, and you're going to take it or leave it.
I thought everyone wanted John Cena to win.
Everybody was fine with it. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, no, and who won? And who
the
won?
The problem with Cena winning was the way that it ended for the win.
Did y'all not want Cena to win or not?
But it, what a wet fart for the end of Cody's freaking title reign, and what a wet fart for John Cena's victory. That was a soft finish. Are you going to tell me that finish
at the
for
end
John
of the day,
17th title was epic?
John Cena won the 17th title like everyone wanted to,
but was
and
it
everyone
good?
Is still bitching and complaining. But let's hear from Toxic. Let's hear from Toxic.
Was it good?
Let's hear from Toxic. I thought it was great, but let's hear from Toxic.
Why? why make Cody lose it to Cena? Why make him lose it to Cena? Blood, I don't give a shit if you pull the dictionary up or not. I am actually crashing out over this. Cena doesn't need this. Pick a reason other than he's retiring and he needs the 17th that he would have possibly win. You could have made Cody lose it to literally anyone else. Hell, Backlash. Randy Orton was... It's in Randy's town. Put Cody and Randy. Make him lose it to Randy. I don't know. Make him lose it to Punk. Have Roman and Cody go back at it. There is literally a million other things that you could do. But no, you make him lose to fucking John Cena.
The truth is, John didn't have to beat Cody for 17. He could have beat anybody else who beat Cody. That's the problem here. It was all at Cody's expense.
But who else? Who else would, if it wasn't John Cena, the one to take down Cody Rhodes, and who,
that could have been the perfect story for Mania. Randy turns on Cody, mentor versus student at Mania. John Cena and him go at it for their final time at Backlash or SummerSlam or whatever, and John takes it off of him. Perfect.
We got a couple cool comments. Shout out to AJ. He said we could have had CM Punk win the World Heavyweight Championship, but TKO stopped that, LOL. And also, Heimer says Cody wanted a break. Who fucking knows, man? That all could be true, but...
That's because there's some rumor going around that he's going away for a long vacation. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's not confirmed.
Yeah, but what is confirmed is that John Cena is the new champion, and he wants to ruin wrestling, and he wants to take the belt and go home with it. And he wants, you know, he wants all of us to suffer. And in a way, we're kind of giving him what he wants. Look at all y'all getting all worked up over this,
and
man.
And if Rand has anything to do with it, he's not going home with it.
If who? Randy?
If Randy.
Oh, man, that's another thing, too.
After
like,
Monday?
Yeah, after Monday. But, like, John Cena just won it. Is Randy Orton really going to take it from John Cena that quick?
You know how I feel about this, Snug?
How? For the people that are listening to this on audio, Mr. Blood just broke his John Cena doll in half. Now, I had some comments too to say about the match in a video that I'll probably add the audio to this podcast, because it was my right now I'm calm, I'm cool, I'm collected, but when it was happening in real time, I had some shit to say too.
You were lighting up our chat, by the way, for a minute, going to town on like 30 message bender of rage messages.
I
did
was?
You read the stuff you sent to the chat after he won? You were
Oh
pissed.
Yeah.
You went on a rant.
Yeah. Well, there's
you went
a video.
On a rant, bro.
There's a video about that too. But yeah, that was the main event of night two. I mean, either way, even it wasn't the outcome that I wanted. It was still one hell of a ride. We didn't get The Rock. You know, we got Travis Scott. But, I mean, the people still popped really, really big for John Cena when he won the thing. No matter what people want to say, maybe the people at home weren't very happy with the match and the outcome. But I can guarantee everyone in that arena, over 60,000 people, popped big when John Cena pinned Cody Rhodes, regardless of how it happened or who came out or who didn't come out. It was the main event of night two. People wanted to see John Cena win number 17, and he did. And the place exploded.